honest and going to continue to be honest, is the one that helps us on our journey towards God's kingdom. A lot's going on in the world. The last time I had the opportunity to speak to you here, we learned together about what Christ thought about things that were going on. And as he reminded us in those teachings that his kingdom is not of this world. So what should we, his people, that he has called out of the world, be doing? How should we be responding and reacting to the things that are going on? How do we respond and react to the message that we just heard from Mr. Franks? You know, it's very challenging for the world, but you know, it's even more challenging for God's people. What have you, and this is a question I have asked myself, what have we learned about our enemy over the past few months? You do remember that we do have an enemy, right? You do remember that we are not wrestling with flesh and blood. It's a spiritual war that we are a part of. A war where Satan is attacking God's people. And he's not going to give up on that. Are we being reminded of that today? You know, this pandemic has challenged each of us in our thinking about what we should and what we shouldn't do. We have our thoughts, we have our opinions. But yet, family, one question I'd like to ask all of us is the fact that do we remember that our adversary, Satan the devil, is still like a roaring lion? He's out seeking whom he may devour. How is he using this pandemic against you and me today? Is wearing a face mask or a face covering causing many problems for you, for me? Each one of us have had our thoughts and opinions about it. But yet, remember, our adversary is like a roaring lion. And as he seeks to devour, he is looking into our hearts and minds to see the things that are troubling you and me. Are we giving him an edge? Are we giving him an upper hand in the matter? As he looks at our attitude, if it's negative, he's going to feed on that negativity. He's going to feed on that. And we have to remember that. And we have to start saying to ourselves every day, hey, no, not today. Not today. Because I choose to continue to do the will of my Father and my elder brother, Jesus Christ. You see, it's a spiritual battle. It's a battle of our mind and our will to obey and to serve God. As Mr. Franks brought out, many have their thoughts about wearing the face coverings. Many of us don't like it. I have been challenged with that on my job for the past 3 months. And then at the end of the day, I have to ask myself a question in which I'm going to share with all of you today again. And that is, at the end of the day, did we honor God? Did we honor God in our behavior? Did we honor God in our thoughts? As Mr. Frank says and has shared with us, many are going through a lot of trials right now, and that's true. Do you see our adversary working in those trials against you and me? He's there. His whole purpose is to bring us down. His purpose is to destroy us in any way possible. He is looking for that weakness. He is looking for that one moment that he can get in there and he can begin working on our thoughts, our minds, and our hearts. But family, we've got to learn to say, hey, no, not today. Not today. You are not going to have your way with me today. Now, in the church, the adversary is trying to cause this line to create divisiveness amongst God's people. And that lion we just heard about, wearing the face covering, wearing the mask. Are we going to allow this to infringe on our day, our thinking, our thoughts, in obeying God? Does this show a weakness in our lives? Does this show that we don't have faith in God? Well, I have faith in God. I don't need to wear this mask. God's going to protect me. There's nothing wrong with that faith. There's nothing wrong with that belief. Because God tells us if we had just a little faith, we could do great things. But, family, there's another step in this process. Some in the church feel like that this shows a weakness amongst God's people. Others feel like, no, I'm just showing love and consideration for my fellow members, for my brothers, for my sisters. Where is the line, family? Where is the line for you and for me today? Today I'm going to be giving us a heart-to-heart. A heart-to-heart that I've had with God and a heart-to-heart that God wants to have with each one of you. Because at the end of the day, when we kneel down and pray, or in the morning when we rise up and pray, are we still standing on the same line with Jesus Christ and God the Father? So who's right? Should we wear a mask? Who's wrong? Should we not wear a mask? Does that mean that maybe I don't have faith? Well, family, what does God say about all of this? You know, everything that goes on in our life, God has covered in this book. He is covered in this book. And all it takes is for you and me to take that moment and sit down with this book and say, Father, what would you have me to do? How do you want me to respond to this? Father, you know my heart. You know my weaknesses. You know how I feel about this mask thing. You know how I feel about what's going on in our country. You know that I love you and I stand with you. But we also have to be honest with God and let God know the troubles that are within our own personal hearts. He says, and he reminds us, that he searches that heart. And don't forget that the adversary continues to go back and forth before him, pointing his finger at you and me and the mistakes that we're making and the things that we're doing. What does God have to say about all this? What does God want you and me to do? Well, this morning, let's take a look at the difference between being faithful and being obedient. Being faithful and being obedient. The title for this message this morning is, Father, will you find faith in me? Will you find faith in me? I'm going to give us two definitions of the word faith. Webster says that faith is complete trust and confidence in someone or something. We have to have complete confidence that someone is telling us right or something is giving us the right instructions as we move forward. The second definition says it's a strong belief in God or in the doctrines of religion based upon a spiritual apprehension rather than proof. Well, the proof comes by us exercising that faith. And now, Hebrews 11 and verse 1 tells us the other part of the definition to faith. Hebrews 11 and verse 1, we read that now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. What you and I have hoped for today is that one day we will be sitting here together again without the face mask on. We can look and we can smile. I can see all of your smiling faces as I stand before you. It's the evidence of what is not being seen yet, but we know it will happen because we have to have faith and believe that that will happen. But in the meantime, we have a responsibility as Christians to obey and to be faithful. Let's continue on and looking at what faith does. Verse 3, Hebrews 11. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. And we have to take and believe that what God has written in His Word here is true. We believe that this universe was created by God. We have no other reason to doubt that it was not. But scientists have their theories, they have their beliefs, but yet then we have the Bible, the Word of God, which has been around a lot longer than scientists have. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than his brother Cain. Why did Abel do this? Because God had instructed him to bring forth his best as an offering to him. And that was to be a sacrifice. And Abel took to heart that God was going to bless his offering. And so he brought before God the very best that he had. And he offered it to God. And God was pleased with that offering. He was pleased with that sacrifice. But now with Cain's, God was not, because there was no thought, there was no heart. There was an attitude, basically, that Cain had. And that attitude, later as we read and know, murdered his own brother, because God accepted Abel's offering. And when God approached Cain, he says, "Why has your countenance fallen?" Well, because of the fact that his attitude was wrong. He looked at the whole situation wrong. And sometimes, family, this is what you and I do. We look at things from our perspective. We look at things from our viewpoint and our eyes. And many times, what we see is not the reality. Because sometimes we have to look a little bit closer. We have to look a little deeper. And yet we take what is being presented to us as being factual or actual, only to find out that it was not. Why? Because we didn't do our part. We didn't do our due diligence. Verse 5, we see where Enoch was taken from this life. And he did not experience death. And his body could not be found because God had taken him away and hidden him. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And verse 6 says, and without faith, it's impossible to please God. It is highly impossible. Because you see, when we come before God, we have to know, as the scriptures tell us, that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He is the rewarder of those who will obey him. He is the rewarder of those who will trust him and seek him. Because if we do that, we are showing God that we're walking by faith, believing and trusting in him. And yet he tells us that Enoch, before he was taken, was commended as one who pleased God. At the end of the day, can we ask ourselves this question? Did my actions reflect my relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ? Did I please him in what I've done and the things that I have said? Many times we spout off our thoughts and opinions about things, and we wish we could just kind of go backwards and grab some of those things back. Because sometimes it was just foolishness of ourselves. But what does this have to do with wearing a face covering? what does this have to do with wearing a mask? Does it mean that I don't have faith in God, that God cannot heal, that God cannot protect? God will. He will do those things. How does God feel as he and Jesus Christ looks down right now, looking at each one of us, and we have a face covering on? Is he shaking his head? Oh, you, a little faith. No, family, he's not. And I'm going to show you here in a few minutes that he is not. And I'm going to show you here in a few minutes that God honors each one of us sitting here today, even with our face covered, as it has been required of us. Us sitting here with our faces covered does not show a lack of faith. It shows honor. It shows respect. And yet, family, it shows obedience. Verse 7 says, by faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. Now, can you imagine and put yourselves right now back during that time period with Noah? You're out in your front yard. You're not in the backyard where people can't see you. No, you're in the front yard where everybody driving by can see you. That guy has gone loony again. That guy is a nut. Everyone would have something negative to say about you because you're out in the front of your yard. You're building an ark bigger than your house. Matter of fact, the ark looks a whole lot better than your house. And your wife is probably getting pretty upset with you because you're putting more time in that ark than doing the things around the house that she's asked you to do. Now, how would I know that? But by his faith, he condemned the world. Do we have that kind of faith, family, to stand up and to do the things that God would have us to do? Do we have that kind of faith to be strong enough to be that positive example in the world in which we live, amongst each of us sitting right here? This is not a sign of weakness. And God does not want any of us sitting here to think that what we are doing is a sign of weakness, because it's not. It is absolutely not. And we have a history. We have scriptures that remind us of things that God has required of his people, and that his people responded and did as the world looked on, grinning and laughing and poking at us. It's bad enough, you know, we keep this Sabbath day. Everybody else is out doing their lawn work, and we're here in this room meeting as God requires us to. You know, and now we're sitting here in this room wearing a mask. I was teasing people over the past couple of weeks. I said, you know, I didn't ever think I would live during a time period when I can walk into a bank with a mask on. And if you don't think that's bad enough, Tennessee passed the ruling that if you carry a concealed weapon, you can walk in the bank with that concealed weapon and your mask on. Now, I don't know about you, but I think the Lone Ranger in Tonto will have a very difficult time right now trying to identify the bank robbers of today. But, you know, we laugh at this, but did you ever think that we'd come to a time like this, where you can actually do this? And it's required. The sign on the door says, to enter this building, you are required to wear a mask. All right. What would you like? All of your money. Yet, family, as Mr. Franks was saying in the video, what if what we're doing will make a small difference? Or what if what we're doing will make a great difference? We don't know, because see, right now, what the world is trying to do is get the formula right. They're trying to get the formula right. They're trying to figure out, okay, what works, what doesn't work. But you see, they need some willing participants to be involved in this test to determine whether or not this will work or not. It can't do any more harm. But yet, when we sit and we listen to all the speculations and all the thoughts, and then we start adding our own thoughts and speculations, then as we've learned the last time I was here, then we are not doing the will of the Father. We're doing our own will. We're coming up with our own conclusions. And the things that are proceeding out of our mouths, out of our hearts, is not of God. This is not of God. My thoughts are not of God. My thoughts are my own thoughts. And I want to pass my thoughts on to you because, hey, this is what I believe. This is what I know. You know, I've searched the internet. I've been all through this thing. And it can't be wrong. Everything on the internet has got to be true. Or it wouldn't be on the internet, right? This is true. This is not God's word. When we want to find out truth, family, we have a responsibility to Jesus Christ and God the Father to pick up this book, to look into this book, to find out what God is saying is true. As we're reminded, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Who do I believe? Who do I trust? Well, I trust the one who called me out of this world. I trust the one who turned me over to his son and said, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And if I have chosen you, I've chosen you to do my will." Even Jesus Christ reminded us, he did not come to do his own will, but he came to do the will of him who sent him. And that is the Father. And so if that is the will of Jesus Christ, then family, that has to be our will also. Our will as we rise up every day must be to serve our Father and our elder brother, Jesus Christ. Because that's what he called us to do. He paid for us. He bought us with his life. And we can't and should not take that for granted. He died for you and me. And he is going to use us to be teachers and to be rulers tomorrow. But what are we learning today? Are we learning to submit? You know, one of the things that I used to do to my wife all the time was if I complained about something that she did, or if I complained about something that she cooked, she would always come back and say, "Well, then you do it." Don't challenge me with a dare. I did it. And when I did it, my purpose was to do it better than she did. And it cost me in the end. But yet, I used to tell her, "I can make a better wife to you than you can to me." Man, I tell you what. Sometimes I wish my shoe would have just stayed in my mouth. I paid for those things because I had to clean the house. I had to wash the dishes. I had to do the laundry. Oh, you said you could do it better than me, so you have at it, oh boy. But yet, family, we are called by Christ to be an example, to be a light. Not only to those in the world, but to each other. Because even as Mr. Frank said again, there are people in the family that are suffering, that are going through different trials and difficulties. And yet you have to continue to remember that our adversary doesn't give up. He's not throwing in the towel. He's not going to quit. He's not going to back off of you. He is going to do all that he can to weaken you, to burden you, and to bring you down. And yet Jesus Christ said, "Hey, you cast those burdens upon me. Because I'm not going to put on you more than you can handle, more than you can bear." But you know what, family? We will. We will put on ourselves more than we can handle. We will put on ourselves more than we can bear. And then we stop and we want to ask God, "Why did you let this happen?" Hey, it wasn't me. That was all your doings. "But why didn't you stop me?" You didn't ask me. You didn't ask me. And plus, my word is in front of you. But you see, you weren't looking at the word. You were looking at the internet. Because you were believing what's on the internet and not what I've written right here in this book. Genesis 22 and verse 1. Genesis 22 and verse 1. We go back and we read where Abraham was tested. I know we've talked about this in times past, but here we are again. Could you do what Abraham did? Could you take a child that God had blessed you with? And could you go, listening to this voice, to sacrifice this child? Could you do that? Do you have enough faith to believe that the voice that you're listening to is the voice of God? Could we do that today? If we are not in tune with Him, no, we cannot. The only way to do this is to be in tune with God through prayer, through Bible study, through walking and talking with Him daily. You see, our eyes have to be fixed on the Word of God on a daily basis. What did David say? I look to the hills from where my help comes from. My help, my strength, everything comes from the Lord. Are we looking to Him for that help and that strength? Are we obeying Him? And are we trusting and believing Him? God had to prove Abraham. And He had to see if Abraham would hold anything back from Him. What about you and me today? Would we hold anything back from God? God tested him. That was a great test. I know the word doesn't say much about his wife in this whole process. You know, God, through his wisdom, had Abraham to leave with his son. We're going on a little trip. Honey, you can't go. Now, what do you think would have happened if honey had gone on this trip with Abraham? You're going to do what? Oh, no, I don't think so. You know, I knew them voices in your head were going to get you messed up here sooner or later, but you're not sacrificing my son. See, that's Mama Bear coming out, protecting her cub. She's not going to let anything happen to that cub. But yet we know that Isaac was not a little cub. But yet that doesn't stop Mama Bear from protecting her child. So what Abraham had to do, he had to do away from his family. Because, see, others don't understand what we go through and what God is trying to do with us today. The things that God wants you and me to learn, sometimes He has to separate us from others and everyone else so that He has our undivided attention. Sometimes He lets us fall down and fall down hard so that He has our attention. Because, see, now while you're down there, you know, hey, I can talk to you for a minute. And guess what? You'll listen. You'll listen because you have no other choice. Because you want His help to get up, and He will help you up. But in the meantime, let me share a few things with you. You've called out to me. I'm responding to you. Now, here's what I want you to do moving forward. Now, do we trust Him enough to do that? Do we trust Him enough to do that? What does the mask have to do with faith? What does wearing this face covering have to do with faith? Well, what did we say the definition of faith was? It was a complete trust or confidence in someone or something. A strong belief in God. It's the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not yet seen. We all are looking forward to the day when their mask can be removed. We're all looking forward to that, and it will happen. We have faith. We believe. We believe that whatever God is working out and allowing to happen right now It is for our benefit. It is for our growth. God's eyes is on you and me. It's not on the world. It's on you and me. Satan's eyes is on you and me as well. And he wants to make it possible and difficult for us that we don't achieve our goal. And what is that goal, family? The very thing that you and I live for every day. The return of Jesus Christ. The kingdom of God. So wearing the mask can become a test of our faith in God. Is God testing you and me today? Is he using this mask to test us? Well, many of God's people have issues. Many of God's people have concerns about wearing the mask. Let's be honest. In this little heart to heart, let's be honest with each other. Number one, you know, I had a problem with this from day one. But you see, at the end of the day, the question is, did I honor God? Did I honor God? And that should be the question that each of us ask. So what is the test? The test is our obedience. It's obedience. The definition that Webster gives us for obedience is compliance with an order or request or law or submission to authority. Ooh, that gets heavy. That gets personal. Pete, you're meddling. No, what do you mean, Scott? This is his words. These are his words. This is what we're being governed by. This is what we're being tested on. You see, family, you have to remember that Satan has already told God that you are going to defy. You're going to defy these orders that the government has put out here because we have our opinion, we have our thoughts. But here, let's take a look at something else that we have to begin to govern ourselves on. Is God testing us today? Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Hebrews 13, verse 17. Hebrews 13 and verse 17. Here comes the test. Verse 17 says, to obey those who have rule over you. Uh-oh. What does that mean? This is talking about our spiritual leaders. And be submissive, for they watch out for your souls. And so we just heard from the president of the church as he shared with each one of us what the council, what the team of elders have concluded. Hey, let's go ahead and encourage everyone to wear a mask to church. What if? Now, resistance comes because we don't want to comply. And we'll see what happens as we go along here. We are told to obey those who have rule over us, those who have spiritual leadership over us. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable to you. Let's not allow the leadership to grieve over trying to serve us because we're being rebellious. But it says, let them do so with joy in serving God's people. God has given them that responsibility that they have. And it is our duty, you and me, as Christians, to submit to that rulership. A little touchy. Well, let's take a look at Romans 13, because if you think that's touchy, it's going to get a little touchier. If that's such a thing. Romans 13, verse 1. Romans 13 and verse 1. Everyone must submit to the governing authorities, for all authority comes from God. And those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. So if any one of you rebels against authority, you are rebelling against what God has instituted. Wow. First, we have to submit to the leadership of the church. Now you're telling us here that we have to submit to the governing bodies of of the towns and the cities in which we live. He says, I have placed them there. He says, I placed them there. Now, when I stop and I read this, I begin to think, okay, well then, you know, God, you know, certain people that you have in position, they're a little quirky. Why would you put them in rule over us? Well, you go back and you remember, family. What did the Jews do to Christ? They murdered him. And then what did the Jews tell Pilate? They didn't want him. They didn't want him. So who did the Jews want? They wanted a thief. They wanted a crook versus Jesus Christ. Give us Barabbas, they said. We don't want Christ. And this world has been rejecting Jesus Christ and God the Father moving forward. And it still does so today. So you don't want me? That's fine. I will place those in office that you want and let them rule over you. God says here, I placed them there. And if you rebel against that authority, then you're rebelling against what I have instituted here. Because what this is about is us being under authority. You know, in this trucking business, I have drivers that come to me and says, you know what, Pete, one day, probably within the next year, I'm going to have my own truck because I don't want to be under your authority. I said, okay, who are you going to drive for? Well, I'm going to drive for this company, but I don't have to be under your authority. Whose name is in big bold lettering on your truck? Well, that doesn't mean anything because I'm an owner-operator. Whose name is in little lettering on your truck? You see, when you're driving that truck down the road, and our name is on that truck, and our state ID number is on that truck, whose authority are you driving under? See, it missed the boat. They thought because they become owner-operators, I don't have to be under your authority. Well, that's not true, because you are. And we will always be up under someone's authority. But yet, God says to you and to me that we have to submit to that authority. And so what do we have here? Where does the mass play into all of this? Well, our governing bodies have said, hey, look, we're ordering an issue out here, a mandate, that you all have to wear a mask. Okay? Here's the law. Here's the rule. God says that you have to follow that rule. Okay? So in the state of Kentucky and the state of Tennessee, they have said, you don't have to wear a mask in church. So, hey, I don't have to wear a mask. Well, you see, that's one body. What did the spiritual body say? The spiritual body says, we encourage all of you to wear a mask. See, you're still under authority. Whose authority are we under? Jesus Christ. We're under his authority. And what he has said and what our leaders have been praying for is, what do we do? You know, I can imagine Mr. Franks and the team center saying, you know, we're going to have a lot of rebellion on this thing. We're going to have people that's going to fall out over this. You know, we might even have people that may walk out of the church over this. Why? Why? You see, what you're giving into is not the submission of authority. What you're giving into is the adversary who's playing his part and his hand into the scheme of this whole matter. And so if God's people walk away from the family of God over a mask, then whose authority are they coming up under? You see, we have to think this thing through. We really have to think things through. You know, one of the things that you tell my kids all the time, before you make that decision, I'll give you one more chance to think it through. Give you one more chance. Because when I say the door is closed, the door is closed. And when I say the door is closed, Mama's not opening up at 1 o'clock in the morning. And there's no reason for you and Mama both being in trouble. So I'm going to give you one more chance. Well, one child thought he can go to mama, and mama's going to open that back door for him. Didn't happen. Why? Because we're under authority. So the church says, okay, each state has adopted rules. We get that. We understand that. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to be across the board in unity with God, with Jesus Christ. How can you tell God's people on the Sabbath? Well, when I was a kid growing up, if you saw a guy in a suit and a briefcase on a hot summer day, he's going to church. That's how we knew. That's how we knew. If you seen your neighbors all dressed up on a Saturday afternoon, they're going to church. And if you see all the kids in the cars with them, you know they're going to church. That's how we were identified. And back in the day, when it was time to go to the feast, and you're driving down the highway, how did you identify God's people? That little green sticker on the back of the car. All right? Or if you were a senior citizen, I think it was a yellow sticker. How do you identify God's people today? God says, they keep my commandments. They keep the Sabbath. This is how you know them. 1 Peter 2, verse 13. 1 Peter 2, verse 13. Verse 13 says, therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the kings as supreme or governors, or to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who will do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may be put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Here's what he is telling us to do. So, we have faith and we have obedience. And God's people, down throughout the years, have worked hard at being faithful. But you know what? Also down throughout the years, God's people have grown a little tired. And family, this is not the time to be tired. This is not the time to want to throw in the towel. This is the time to get up, to rise up, to encourage each other, to be supportive of each other, to be there for each other, to encourage each other to do good works. God has not forsaken you. He has not forgotten you. He is not leaving you. He is not abandoning you. So why would we abandon him? Why would we leave him? The adversary is finding more ways every day to pull God's people out of the family. We can't give him that opportunity. We've got to stand up and say, hey, not today. Not today. You caught me in a weak moment, but you know what? That's all you did was you caught me in a weak moment. But me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to serve God, and we're going to be obedient to him. You don't have to turn there, but in Matthew's 22nd chapter, you see where the Pharisees were always trying to trip Christ up. Matthew's 22, verses 17 through 22. They wanted to test Jesus. They came to Jesus and said, the question was about paying taxes. Jesus said, therefore, well, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? The Pharisees asked. Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, why do you test me, you hypocrites? Show me the tax money. So they brought forth a denarius. And he said to them, whose image is inscripted on this? They said to him, it was Caesar's. So Christ says, then you render to Caesar what is Caesar's, but you render unto God what is God. They want to try to get out of not paying taxes, and they want to see what Christ was going to say about it. When, family, do we stop obeying the laws of man? When do we stop? When do we say, no more, I'm not obeying your laws anymore? Well, first of all, let's ask another question. Will I be sinning if I decide and I choose that I don't want to follow the church's rule and wear a mask? Would that be a sin? Does that go against what Jesus Christ, what God just shared with us about obedience? He is the authority. Our job is to serve and to obey him. Because, see, we have a great responsibility moving forward. What are we going to teach others in the kingdom? What are we saying to others today? Is it okay to break the law? Is it okay to do my own thing? What comes out of our mouths must be the word of God. What does God say about this? That's what our answers should be. This is what our actions should be. We should be reflecting the word of God in our behavior, our thoughts. Everything that we do, everything that we say has to reflect this word, because Jesus Christ died for you and me. He called us out of this world, and yet we keep using technology to draw us back into the world. And then we use our own thoughts, our own mindsets, to draw us back into the world where Satan wants us. Christ says, no. No. My Father called you out of the world. He called you out because he has a plan and a purpose for you. So is it a sin for us to disobey? Well, if God says to obey and we don't, then the answer is simple. It's yes. It is a sin. Is it a sin when we come to a point and say, you know what, I'm not going to obey man's laws anymore? Well, how do I come to that conclusion? It's very simple. It's very simple. You remember the story in Daniel 3, verses 8 and 25. What did those three Hebrew boys do? They were given instructions. They were told that when you hear all this music, you will bow down and you will worship the gold image. Well, what did Christ tell us in the first commandment? That we will have no other gods before him. We will not bow down to any graven images. It's a commandment. And so if the rules and the laws of the land say to you and me that now we disobey God, well, here's another line drawn. Because we are going to obey God. And we have to have the attitude of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. If it means that you're going to destroy me because I choose to obey God, then let my destruction begin, because I am not going to disobey God. Is that our attitude? Is that where we are in our walk with God? Nothing should separate us from God. And when that is presented before us, family, what are you going to do? What are we going to do? The mass family just allows us to demonstrate to God our obedience to God. You see, this book was written long before this virus and this pandemic. God says, I change not. His word has not changed. He has given us the responsibility as Christians to be obedient to him first. You see, we obey him first, then we obey the laws of the land. And he says to obey those who I have placed in authority over you in the church and in the world. That's what we have to do. That's what the word just told us. It's not my words. These are God's words. And this is what you and me, this is what we are governed by. Our obedience. Because we have faith, we walk every day by faith. We look forward to that return of Jesus Christ. We know he's going to come back because he said he was. We believe that. His scriptures show us these things. Christ told his disciples when he was taken away by the Roman soldiers. He told Peter to be still. Put up your sword. Because if you live by that sword, you're going to die by that sword. You see, he had the power and ability to be able to stop all this madness. But he did not, because the scriptures have to be fulfilled. Every word that he spoke, these things that were happening had to come to pass. And he has already foretold you and me what life was going to be like today. It's already been recorded. These things must come to pass before Christ returns. And we are living in that time. And so what does God want you and me to do? He wants us to continue putting forward our best efforts in serving and obeying him and honoring him. And we honor Christ and God by keeping his word and by speaking his word and by doing his will. So the Father is on his throne. He's looking down at you and me today. We're wearing masks. And he looks at his Son, Jesus Christ, and he is pleased with us. He is pleased with us because of the fact that we are honoring and obeying him first. We're doing his will. And family, we must continue to move forward, trusting, believing, not giving up, not quitting, not throwing in the towel, but keep that faith. Keep that faith that one day we'll sit here and we'll be able to look at each other smiling faces sitting right here in this hall again. The evidence of things not yet seen, but yet the things hoped for. Let us continue to be obedient to God. Let us continue to be obedient to Jesus Christ. And let us continue to be faithful to this church, this family, that where God has placed you and me. Let us honor our leadership. Let us not grieve our leadership here in the church because of our own thoughts and opinions about something that is very trivial. And yet something that Satan is using. He's using that against us. He's using everything he can against you and me. But will you stand up and be bold and say, hey, not today. Not today.